President Trump told supporters at a rally in South Carolina last night that, as a political issue, the crisis at the border is, quote, fine for us, meaning a winning issue for Republicans and a losing one for Democrats.
They want to protect illegals coming into the country much more so than they want to protect you. And that's not where we're coming from. OK, so I defined it today. The Democrats want open borders and they don't mind crime.
Well, according to weekly polling from Gallup, President Trump's approval ratings have fallen slightly over the past week as his administration pursued a zero-tolerance policy that led to the separation of immigrant parents and children at the border. Gallup finds that Trump's highest ever approval rating, which was 45%, has fallen back to 41%. And among Republicans, Trump's 90% approval rating has slipped just slightly to 87%. Well, let's bring in here and now Republican political strategist John Brabender. John, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, that 87% approval rating amongst Republicans, I mean, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, look, what we're seeing is all but 13% of Republicans have a favorable view of the president. And I think that can only be viewed as pretty strong. The other thing you have to keep in mind is they're asking that question of all Republicans, not necessarily the most engaged Republicans, who are also the Republicans most likely to show up in an even year non-presidential election. So I would imagine it's probably higher among that group. So I don't think that the Republicans are going to win or lose the race based on Republicans. The wild card this year is going to be the blue-collar Democrats that actually supported and voted Trump president, places in Rust Belt states and other states that have critical races this year. So I think that's the number to watch more than anything.
Well, John, we were seeing this report in Axios that identified what they called never Hillary independents, basically independents who just under no circumstances were going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And Axios is saying that these are the persuadable voters in this upcoming election, and they could hold the key to what happens. And I'm going to lump together another poll here in this question, because there was exit polling after the 2016 election that said that 20% of Trump voters didn't necessarily like him, but, you know, they voted for him anyway. So I'm just wondering, like, is this sort of shifting middle that could have an impact in November 2018?
That is a very, very important swing group that everybody's going to be targeting. Number two are going to be moderate Republicans. If you look at places like the collar counties of Philadelphia or Nassau County in New York or other places, there's this moderate group where Donald Trump slightly underperformed in 2018. Has he increased his likability among them, his job performance among them, or does he still underperform, and is that going to hurt other Republican, down the ticket? I think there are these important subsects. They are the movable voters. And frankly, that's where a lot of these polls, I think, will start to transition to start having these pockets of voters and see what they're doing rather than just all voters who are out there.
You know, so does that mean that, Democratic politicians and pundits who believe that the president may be weakened by all the controversy and fervor over his administration's immigration policy, that they're wrong to think that? Because it's interesting to hear you say that Gallup is asking this question of all Republicans, and he still has an 87% approval rating.
Well, I think we're looking at a lot of fluidity. But more importantly, let's look at the history. 2 years into any president, there are problems. I mean, the same thing happened on the Democrats. In 1994, the Republicans did very well 2 years into Bill Clinton. In 2010, the Republicans did very well 2 years into President Obama. And so some of these numbers aren't surprising. But number two, coming off the presidential win, we knew we were going to still have a divided America and a lot of controversy over issues. And I think what you can also add to the mix is that Donald Trump is moving very quickly with his agenda, and he's letting people know either get on board or we're going to do it without you. And that comes with a certain amount of controversy as well. And that's why there is going to be fluidity. We look at issues right now that we say, oh, my gosh, that's the big issue for the fall. The fall may have a completely different issue that none of us are even talking about yet. And so that's why I think we have to take the poll numbers a little bit carefully.
Given the way that the news has been developing over the past 2 years, I think you're guaranteed that there are going to be other issues between now and the fall. But I want to actually just talk to you specifically about the Republican Party itself, because is part of what's happening now that if there are Republicans out there who perhaps yearn for an alternative to President Trump, that it's just not there, that, you know, the Paul Ryans and Mitch McConnells of the world aren't choosing to be an alternative voice within the Republican framework, that it truly is the party of Trump?
Well, to really understand the environment and to understand this particular president, and it took me a while to figure this out, you can't look at President Trump. You have to look at Trump supporters. And it's a strange coalition. I hear all the time when they say the president's playing to his base. Well, his base is really not just Republicans. As I was saying before, it's a lot of blue-collar Democrats, or what I call the sons and daughters of what we used to call Reagan Democrats, where they're with the president on trade, they're with the president on immigration, they're with the president on national security. And so it creates a real problem for other Republican leaders who may not always agree with the president, because the president has a pretty strong support among, you know, this sort of grassroots network. And we see that. Look at some of the most recent elections that happened. In South Carolina, we saw that he came out against Sanford. Sanford loses. In West Virginia, he came out against one of the Senate candidates. He came a distant third. So the president has a pretty big stick in the sense of being able to be out there and tweet support for some candidates, opposition to another. And it seems to do well when he does that. And when you have that type of power, what it makes it is much more difficult for an alternative to sort of rise, because John Kasich and others can sort of raise their hand and say, I want to be that person. But when they turn around, there's really nobody standing behind them. And so it becomes very problematic for them to get any real traction.
Hmm. So then, I mean, in your view, what does that mean for the future of the party even come November?
Look, I think we're going to find out a lot in this November's elections. And I think it's too early to even make predictions. I mean, generally speaking, the Democrats are going to pick someplace up around 25 or 26 seats is what's expected in the House. The question is, do they take control of the Senate, which is much more difficult for the Democrats this year because most of the highly contested seats are already Democrat seats. And you have people like Joe Manchin in West Virginia, who's hugely vulnerable because he disagreed with the president on a couple key issues, such as the tax cuts. The president and vice president called him out on it, and Joe Manchin's numbers in West Virginia fell. So now you have a targeted race there. You know, I'll give you one of the most fascinating statistics of the exit surveys from 2016 was we had the first woman running on a national ticket for president. But if you go look at non-college educated white women, they voted over 60% for Donald Trump, not Hillary Clinton, which you would think they would have more of an affiliation with. Yet they like what Donald Trump is doing. And that was not seen in any of the survey data going on. And so I think you got to look, when you have a president like this who is being very aggressive and standing up for certain things, that we might all, you know, the pundits may all say, oh, that's so controversial. But there's a core group of Americans who voted him president who are happy he's doing some of these things. And I think it's a really difficult thing to try to figure out how that's going to impact the 2018 elections at this point.
That exit poll number that you just talked about is interesting. But on the other hand, I'm just saying myself, as a woman, I'm not necessarily going to vote for a woman simply because she's a woman. I think a lot of those women just didn't like Hillary Clinton and her policies, and they found what they wanted more aligned in Donald Trump.
Right. But the important part was these were many voters who had not voted Republican in the past.
I see.
They voted for Donald Trump, not for the Republican Party in many cases. In fact, they felt that both parties had let them down, let them stranded on the economic battlefield. And the irony was, it was a, you know, billionaire, basically, who encouraged some of these blue collar households to say, you know what? Donald Trump says whatever he really believes, whether it's politically and socially acceptable or not, That's the type of guy that I really believe may go to Washington, fight for me, and change things.
And so to that point, though, the president, since his election, has really brought the party to him. Again, as we were talking about earlier, there aren't that many dissenting Republican voices. Doesn't that mean that those very same voters we were just talking about, their support for President Trump is now also support for where the Republican Party is?
Well, yeah. What very much has happened is, you know, Donald Trump has by far the biggest megaphone in this country and the biggest megaphone within the Republican Party. So what is happening over time is the brand of the Republican Party is becoming based upon the branding of Donald Trump. This is going to be where I think the Democrats are going to try to position Donald Trump as one way. The Republicans are going to talk about the results and successes and how it's impacted families. And we're going to find out on Election Day in 2018 who they believe.
Yeah. Well, John Brabender is a Republican political strategist. Thanks so much for joining us today, John.
Always a pleasure.